God just dropped this in my heart. I was walking down the mall. Can you believe that? The Lord just dropped this in my heart, this little word from the Lord tonight. I don't know necessarily why I'm going to preach it, but here it comes. Somebody needs it. Somebody needs it. The book of Leviticus chapter number 14 tonight. I feel the Lord in this house. Hallelujah. If the Lord will help me and you'll help me through the blood of Jesus, Okoye will never be the same after this meeting. Did you hear me? If we could grasp what we preached last night and get a hold of that, Okoye will never be the same. If we can grasp what I'm fixing to preach tonight, get a hold of it in the depths of our hearts and the Spirit of God imprint it in our hearts, we'll never be the same. We'll never be the same. Let's let the Lord help us tonight. Amen. Leviticus chapter number 14. You're going to think, Brother Greg, you are way off your rocker tonight because of this chapter and these verses. You're going to wonder where I'm going. For you Bible scholars, if there is any, amen, I'm glad you're here. Amen. Maybe you'll understand what I'm fixing to preach, which way I'm going. Verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leopard in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. The priest shall go forth out of the camp. The priest shall look, glory. And behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for that the other living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. He shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean. And shall let the living bird loose into an open field. Can you say amen? He shall sprinkle upon him to be that is to be cleansed from leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean. He shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Turn with me tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 61. We'll be reading quite a bit of scripture tonight. That's the reason why I'm not going to ask you to stand. Then you'll obviously get tired and fall out. Verse 1. The Bible days, they stood for 6 hours while the man of God read. Amen. And cried for more. And they didn't even have the Holy Ghost to enjoy it. We got the Holy Ghost. 61, verse number 1. Amen. Tonight may be quiet night. Amen. Even read me verse number 1. And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. This is Isaiah prophesying of Jesus. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Can you shout amen? Amen. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Say amen. The oil of joy for mourning. Say amen. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Say amen. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build old wastes, they shall raise up former desolations. Glory, I'm getting happy. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. The stranger shall stand and feed your flocks, and the son of the alien shall be your plowman and your vine dresser. But ye shall be the name, the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall ye boast yourself. For your amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's read one more time. Verse number 10. Let's read it. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. As a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Amen. He has blessed me. For as the earth bringeth forth her bird, and the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Are you still with me tonight? The book of St. Luke, chapter number 4 and verse number 18, the same text. Jesus pulls out the scroll. He opens it up. Now that was prophecy in the book of Isaiah. This is fulfillment in the book of St. Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Say amen. When I read this, if he's done this to you, I want you to say amen. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Oh, I feel like reading that again. To preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I wouldn't ask you to do this, but this verse just got all over me this evening. I feel like you'd love to read it and want to mark it down. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 42, verse number 7. I just feel like you'd want to mark it and read it and keep reading it days to come. Chapter 4 or 42 and verse number 7. Read it out loud with me. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. He came to set the captive free. I said he came to set the captive free. Raise your hands. Say, Holy Ghost, help that preacher tonight. Great God of heaven, I need you as I've never needed you before. You see the congregation you blessed into my hands tonight. Anoint me, God, with the anointing of heaven that I may preach this great gospel. That I may pound on the gates of hell with this message one more time. That the blood of Jesus still saves. The blood of Jesus still's got the power to break every force that hell has. God, in our own ability we stand as nothing. We cannot accomplish anything but our even own things. We will falter. But through you and through using your name and your blood, we can conquer everything that stands in the way of the church. Now loose everyone from their bands. Come on, saints of God, pray with me tonight. Loose everyone from their bands. Loose everyone from their past. Everyone from their future. Everyone from their present. Move in this house like you have not moved all week long. And we'll praise you and give you the honor and the glory. We love you tonight. Come on, praise him a minute. Praise him, praise him, praise him. We love you tonight, Jesus, for your sacrifice. We thank you for the blood that still flows, reaches to the highest mountain, flows to the lowest valley. Thank you because it still works. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said hallelujah and amen. Thank you tonight. Even we find in the reading of the word tonight, amen, in the chapter of the Leviticus chapter 14, amen, you're wondering how I'm going to connect all of this together. Leviticus used to be one of the hardest books of the Bible for me to read. I'd rather read, amen, anything than to have to read, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Amen. We would have... got saved. The preachers would tell us, come on, get your minds on the Lord tonight. Amen. Don't be so shallow that that knocks you out of the water. All right. I said, don't be so shallow that that knocks you out of the water. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. When I first got saved, they would tell me to read the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because that was the best scriptures to read for a new convert. And that's the way I tell every new convert to get saved in my meeting. Don't start with the book of Genesis. Start with the book of Matthew. You need to be rooted and grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to know Him inside and out. You need to know what He done. You need to know His miracles. You need to know His life. You need to know Him as a person. Can you say amen? I preached last night on power or His person. Amen. And I think we've declared the fact that I'd rather have His person any day, amen, than to live on His power from day to day. Come on now. Help me, Holy Ghost, just a while. But you see, the book of Leviticus was the hardest book of the Bible for me to read, seemed like. When they got to them offerings of the sacrifices of the oxen, the sacrifices of the sheep and of the birds and the turtle doves, and we could go on down. And I just thought, what in the world does that mean to me? Why in the world would I have to read that stuff? It don't make no sense to me. Amen. They take the ashes out. They put more fire in. They pull off his ear and put it in a bucket, and they put this, and it just goes on and on. And unless you are really intend on studying the book of Leviticus, it's a hard book to understand. You could say, man, it's all right tonight. You're not going to get an F on your report card. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you see, Leviticus was tough until one day I was praying, and I've been evangelizing. Amen. About 7 years, even 2 years ago, I was praying, seeking the Lord. I've come across a retired, amen, theological seminary teacher. And they volunteered to give me their notes on the book of Leviticus. And Brother Davis, I found out that this book is one of the most sweetest books of the Bible. It's one of the most precious books that is written down in the Old Testament. Now you're looking at me still funny. But every blood drop that was shed, every sacrifice that was made, was in the foretelling or the future telling, or put it that way, of the Son of God being crucified. Every cleansing, everything, every ordeal they had to go through, was the foretelling or example of the Son of God being crucified on Calvary's tree.
Amen. And we find tonight in our reading that this leper, amen, once a man had caught leprosy and became a leper, come here, Brother Davis, they would take him outside of the tent of the congregation of Israel. They would place him on the outside and he would walk and live there and never was able to enter into the tent or able to enter back in among the people because he had leprosy. Leprosy separated him, amen, from his people. Leprosy separated him from his God. So how many knows what the leprosy example of? It is the example of sin. Sin separates us. Sin, amen, breaks the relationship between us and God's people, between us and the Spirit of God. Now you mark it down, folks. When you go to get into the place, come on now, that you can't get along with none of God's people, don't blame God's people. Find out what's wrong with yourself. Come on here, help me while I preach. One lady told her pastor, I'm going down to such and such church. They are perfect down there. He said, you better not go because it won't be perfect no more. Come on now. Amen. So do not try to find something in somebody else when you can't get along with everybody in the house of God. It could be that there's sin in your life that's separating you, amen, from God's people. But the Bible said that this leper would walk back and forth, amen, maybe, and look, and all tears might roll down his cheek as if to say, I love, amen, to get back into that congregation of Israel. I love to find my way back into the presence of the Lord. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. Amen. But he could not because of his leprosy. If you become within 10 feet or so many feet of that leper, immediately he would have to throw hands up and say, unclean, unclean, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. Oh, what a shameful life that he had to live. Oh, what a horrible life that this leper had to live. But we find in the reading of the word tonight that when it come time, amen, if some odd reason the leprosy began to dry up, or the leprosy was gone, that the priest, that he would talk to somebody, and the priest would come out with a mic, amen, and take a look at him, and look him over, and he'd say, amen, it looks like it's drying up, it looks like it's gone, but before they could let that leper inside to the congregation of the people, the Bible said the priest would enter in and take two doves or two birds. They're both living birds. He'll take that first living bird. Amen. I'm giving you a little seminar here tonight. Then he'd take that first bird, amen, and slay that bird and drain every bit of the blood of that bird into an earthen vessel. Every bit of it would be drained out of that bird. Every bit of the blood inside that bird. Then he would take that second bird, amen, in the cedar wood, amen, the things there, and he would dip it down in that blood. So now you got a dead bird in his blood, and now you got a living bird that's got blood from its beak to its little bitty paw or toe, whatever you want to call it. Amen. He's drenched in blood. When he flaps his wings, blood flies. Come on now, this is a bloody gospel, isn't it? Amen. Blood. But he would take that blood of that bird, of that living dead bird, on that living bird, and would sprinkle 7 times. 3, 5, 6, 7. And then he would take that bird that's living with blood all over him out into the open field and let it go. And that living bird, when he flapped his wings to fly, blood was flying everywhere. And everywhere that bird, as he flew away, blood was dropping. Hey, 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 I know where I'm going. You don't. You want to know now? Let me tell you the example. The first living bird Word was our Savior. Come on now, help me while I preach. Amen. Wait, let me back up just a minute. And because that He was sprinkled seven times and the bird was let loose, it meant that this little leopard man, ex-leopard, amen, used to be leopard, could come back into the congregation of Israel. Amen. And live like he had never been in leprosy. And live like nothing has ever been wrong. He was free to do what he wanted to do now in the camp of Israel. Oh, I feel God in this house tonight. Oh, you see that first bird? Amen. That first living bird was our Savior. And the Bible said the first drop of blood that we read of was in the garden of Gethsemane. As his sweat became as great drops of blood have fallen to the ground. Well, the devil don't want me to preach this tonight, but I'm going to preach it if it hair lips hell. Come on here, help me just a little while. You see, amen, when they took my blessed Savior and rent his body with a cat of nine tails, that blood spilled out of his body. One preacher got to preaching, amen, on the blood of Jesus. And he got to telling how great it was. And he just stopped and said, wow, it's the blood of God. Hallelujah. It's the blood of God. But his blood was spilling. In the garden of Gethsemane, if you could have seen there, there was blood everywhere. There was blood on the rock. There was blood on the ground. As they took him and beat him with a cat of nine tails, his blood ran down his body. He was beat beyond recognizing. You couldn't even tell he was hardly a human being for the beating that that man took. Oh, I feel God in this house. All the way up to Calvary's Hill, he left a stream of blood as he carried his cross up that hill. This is the first bird as he died. His blood is being spilled into the earthen vessel as he walks. His blood is dropping. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, and then hanging on that tree, they gave him vinegar and water, and then he sighed. Then they pierced him with a sword. Amen. Forthwith came blood and water. And every bit of the blood in his body, amen, had come gushing out. And there was no blood left. He cried with everything was in him, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. But that's not the end of the story. For the second living bird, come on now, I said the other living bird, when it came up, drowned it in that blood. The priest brought it up, blood all over it. That was a representation of that third Easter morning when Jesus came out alive. With the blood of his sacrifice, he carried it before the Father. And the Father said, "It is enough. It is sufficient. It is what we need." And the Bible said, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. And tonight, when you got saved, that living bird flew. I said, that living bird still loose. They're still saving. And they're still breaking people out and bringing them to God.
Raise your hands. Ask God to touch me right now. I don't feel like pulling a load. So you get in here and help me pull this load, or I'll quit pretty shortly because I don't feel like it, all right? Amen. You see, amen, that band would have never got to come into the congregation of Israel had not that little bird gave his life. I want to tell you tonight, there's a lot of folks, Brother Clifton, that could have never come in the church house because they weren't good enough or because
because they wasn't, amen, great enough. But the blood of Jesus Christ hope in a hopeless world. The blood of Jesus Christ hope for the hopeless, for those that are broken, for those that are twisted, for those that are messed up. I come to tell you tonight, he came to set the captive free. He came to break the power of hell. He came to destroy the work of the devil. Raise your hands and love God. I said he came to set the captive free. Amen. You ain't got to sit in bondage no longer. You ain't got to live in bondage no longer. You ain't got to think bondage no longer. The blood of Jesus came to set the captive free. It can break the power of drug addiction. It can break the power of alcoholic addiction. It's the blood. I said it's the blood of Jesus Christ. There still flows. There still reaches to the lost. It's the blood of a king. I said, it's the blood of a king. I said, it's the blood of the king. For Christ sent not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words. Amen. That the cross of Christ should be made none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. I said to us that are saved, it is the power of God. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Hallelujah. In other words, the law can't do it. You can't live holy and make it. Come on now. I said you can't live holy and make it. You gotta get washed holy and then live holy and you can make it. Living holy by itself is not going to get your feet off the ground. But when you've been washed holy by holy blood, then you are holy. Let the Holy Ghost while I preach. My outward holiness is not what makes me holy. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that set me free, that makes me what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. We are what we are by the blood of Jesus. He came to set the captive free.
The world, even would like to change men. But they can't change men. You see, nature forms us. The world deforms us. Society will try to reform us. But Jesus has got the power to transform us. Woo! You see, there was a little woman in the Bible who was bowed over and could not straighten up. She couldn't straighten up. So many folks love to straighten up on their own. But you can't straighten up on your own.
You can't clean up on your own. You can't get free on your own. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. You can't get free from things on their own. But when Jesus entered the sanctuary, here she comes. Stand up, Sister Karen. Her bow over. When she came into the sanctuary that day, Jesus stopped her. Amen. Bow over. And the Bible said, He said unto her, "Loose this woman and let her go." And immediately she straightened up. Come on now, help me while I preach. Folks don't understand why I get excited when I preach like I'm preaching tonight. They don't know what causes holiness, folks, to roll in the floor, shake their head, and kick their leg. But if he was as bound as I was when I fell at his feet, and it broke the power of hell in my life. Oh, I feel like preaching here tonight. He broke the addiction. He broke the love for sin. He broke the power of sin. Ah! Sin has got no power when it's covered by the blood. Sin ain't got no power when it gets the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus breaks every chain. The blood of Jesus destroys every yoke.
I was preaching down in southwest Alabama. I mean, voodoo people live across the road. I'm talking about horrible. And them demon-possessed key people come to church. Might have heard me tell this on tape or heard me tell it before. I feel like telling it again tonight. And this woman come up for prayer in that service. They people sat in that service demon-possessed. I mean, just talk to the demon sitting beside them. Whisper, I mean, just talk. Come up for prayer. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Just to interrupt the service. All of a sudden, this woman run up to the altar to get prayed for one night. I could see it from the first Sunday that I got there, that Sunday night. Me and her lot dies in the middle of my message. Me and her knew that we knew what each other was. Amen. My spirit clashed with what had a hold of her. And she knew that I knew what she had. Come on now. Every night she'd watch me like a hulk. But it wasn't me she was watching. It was what lives on the inside of me. Come on here now. Help me, Holy Ghost. So she come up to prayer and I knelt down and prayed. Said, "Holy Ghost, you don't move on me. I'm not praying for this till you deal with me." All of a sudden I felt something rise up in me. Sister Linda Baltman, she's praying with her. She's asking God to move. And about that time, I felt the Holy Ghost rise up in me. Amen. And Sister Linda's praying for her. Sister Linda's seen me and seen the Lord. Amen. Moving. And she said, "Pray for a preacher." Amen. The Holy Ghost fell in that house and grabbed her by the back of her head. When I did, she slung her head backwards. Amen. And with the most evilest eyes that you've ever seen in your life, looked me eyeball to eyeball and said, "I'll never let her go. You can't have her." A voice out of the depths of her soul began to cry. Amen. And the power of God laid that woman in the floor. Amen. I got on my knees crying and praying, begging God. And I said, "Devil, you're going to lose her tonight. You can't have her." Amen. That devil screamed, "Let me alone." I said, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not." Amen. Because Jesus, amen, came to set this woman free. Amen. The blood of Jesus has already won the victory. She said it again. That demon cried, "Let me alone," in a whimpering cry. Then the Holy Ghost touched me and I said, "Ain't it wonderful?" Amen. You already know your work. That's why you're asking what's amen. Come on here. What lives inside me to leave you alone? You already know he done won the victory.
about that time. We've been sitting on the day a man brought four rolls. Amen. From a nearby church. Amen. This modern day church. Come on now. Live like you want to. Come on. Do what you want to do. About that time, amen, he pushed me out of the way. And my legs was cramping and I kind of rested a minute. He got in my way and began to pray for her and said, come out of her, devil, in the name of Jesus. That demon began to laugh the hideous laugh you've ever heard. And then, even he had a woman helping him pray and she was laughing and I could not tell the difference between the laugh. And I'm not casting any stones. I'm telling you the honest to God's truth. I couldn't tell the difference in her laugh and the demon's laugh. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to tell you a deceptive spirit that's got a hold of this world that lets him to bleed the garbage that's being. Come on now. Put a cross in this hour. Amen. It's an abominable way. Amen. And it's just as lost. Amen. As if you was out in sin to be deceived by the spirit of deception. Well, it's going to get quiet, but I come to preach to it tonight. Hear me. Amen. This compromised preacher began to pray and began to beg God. And that demon laughed and laughed and laughed. And I want to tell you, this was not no showcase between who had it and who didn't have it. It wasn't a showcase. I wasn't there to play a game. But the Holy Ghost fell. That demon screamed with a voice and screamed, and I felt her scream at me and say, nobody loves her. When it did, something rose in me, shot me across that floor faster than I've ever moved. I grabbed her by the back of the head and I said, devil, you lie. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And immediately, I said immediately, that demon came out of that woman and she was set free. I come to tell you tonight, he come to set the captive free. He come to break the power of hell in our lives.
She helped me pray the rest of the week, people, through the salvation. Come on, I'm losing some of you tonight. Amen. I want to tell you something here tonight. There is a book. I did not think of this till I got up to preach tonight. There is a book in the title of my message. He came to set the captive free. And it's of a witch who writes in her book, I was in the satanic church. And she said, I was bigger. She said, one of the greatest women in that church. She said, there's only four women in the satanic church that is married to Satan or is the wife of Satan. And she said, I was one of them. Come on now. She said what first got her attention about the Lord. You can read it for yourself. Believe it or not. She believes it. She tells it. Amen. Come on. I got a right to my choice to believe it or not. And I just so happen to believe it. She said that the devil or the Satan man that was over their church. Amen. The devil. Amen. Spoke in a seance and sent them to a preacher's home. The preacher does not know it till tonight. But this witch went to this home with her other people and gathered around this preacher's home and began to cast a spell on that church or that preacher. And she said, but the thing that scared me and got my attention was they was 9-foot bright beings surrounded his home. She said, I looked and I reared back to cast the spell and said, when I did, it bounced off the chest of them beings. And that being looked at me and said, why don't you serve Jesus? Hallelujah!
she said, I went to do it again. It bounced off. She said, and with one blow of his breath, she said, it blowed us back. Come on now. Woo! Excuse me for sitting down just a minute, all right? Amen. Amen. And she said, it blowed her back. And she said, she realized for the first time ever that there is a power that was more powerful than what she had. Hey! And she gave her heart to Jesus Christ, and now she's saved. You can find the book at the bookstore. I don't know what kind of person she is. Help me, Holy Ghost. But I come to tell you, she writes, he came to set the captive free. He come to break the sin in our lives. They ain't a sinner in this world that the blood of Jesus cannot pick up and break the power of sin in their lives. Amen. He did come. He did not come to make sin tolerable. He came to set you free from sin. He didn't come to get you by. He came to set you free. He didn't come to make you feel better. He came to get you away from your sin. I come to tell you tonight why you're so miserable. It's because you're still locked up and you need Jesus to break through your cell and deliver you.
You see, there's folks in the church. They come to church bound. They worship bound. They sing bound. They leave bound. And they have been bound so long that they no longer desire freedom. They no longer want to be free because they are used to being bound. You're bound to a bruise. You're bound to wounds and hurts of the past. And you live that way. Come on here now. And they, some of you, the devil has gradually rot to sleep. You come and you sit and you sit and you sit and you don't worship. You don't get in. You don't get in. You leave in the same condition. And you're saying, I'm saved and I'm free. But the devil's laughing at you. And he's just saying, they don't know it, but I've got them. I've got them. Oh, I feel the Lord in this house here tonight. I've asked you to worship several nights, and some of you can't worship. And you don't know why you can't worship, because you're bound. But Brother Greg come to tell you, you can get free. Come on, pray for me tonight. I ain't feeling good right this minute, okay? Hallelujah. He come to set you free. He come to break the power of sin. Oh, the power that hell has seemed to unlock your soul. There's a preacher's wife, and I told Sister Davis this. We were talking, and I told her this. She had a great husband, and he passed away. For 2 years, she was locked up in a jail. Nobody could get into her, and she could neither get out to nobody. She had just become dead. Her heart had died. Her love had died. Her worship died. Everything died in her life. But I've seen her shout in revivals, but she just couldn't seem to break through. But one night I went to their camp meeting, the preacher began to preach on going from Patmos to paradise. And he said, I want to tell you that you may be sitting in Patmos like John the Revelator, but God has got the power to take you to paradise. For though John was sitting on Patmos, his spirit was in paradise. And though John was living in Patmos, his mind was in paradise.
And about that night, that nothing happened that night. I come unglued. Nobody else did, but I did. I got so happy I couldn't sit down. That message jump-start my jumper and kick-started my kicker and run my runner. Come on now. And turn my laugh old. I'm telling you. Nobody else got it, I guess. Leave until Saturday night. When the choir began to sing, I'm going to a city where there'll be no more night. I'm going to a city where Jesus is alive. Amen. All the troubles I've known down here will all be over. No more sorrow, no more tears. Amen. I'm going to see my loved ones who's gone on before. But best of all, I'm going to see Jesus. He's come. I'm going to live forevermore. And I looked at that gray-headed grandma who had lost her precious, loving prince of a man. Amen. That's the power of God. Fell on her. And she broke out of her shell. And the moment she broke, her little son, who is the pastor of that church, looked and saw mama coming out of the shell. And when he saw mama coming out of her shell, he decided to come out of his shell. And when his sister looked and saw mama and brother coming out of their shell, she began to come out of her shell. And when her husband saw his wife and brother-in-law and mama-in-law coming out of the shell, he was on the keyboard praying for the youth choir, and he decided to come out of his shell. I want to God to not some of you realize that you are free, that you are free, that you are free, and you can come out of your shell. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. You can break out tonight. You can get free. You can get loose.
Come on, get with me just a few moments tonight. Woo! You see, when an elephant is born, they tie him to a stake. That elephant walks around and around that stake because he's weak and can't pull it up. But as he grows, becomes an adult, they use that elephant in the forest, hook his back leg to a tree, and with just a few yanks, he pulls up tree, root, and all. Every day, all day long, pulling down trees. But yet, when his hard work is over, they take him back to the village and wrap that same rope he's been pulling up tree roots and all with to that little stake. And that elephant walks around and around and around his stake because it's in his mind, I don't got the power to get loose. Oh, I feel God. I said, I feel God. How many folks that are saved because you tried and failed and you tried and failed and you tried and failed. You think they ain't no use to get free. And therefore you just walk around that same little stake you've been walking around for years. Revival comes and God touches you, but yet in a few weeks you're wrapped around that same little stake. Come on here now. Amen. Help me, Holy. You got one of the greatest evangelists that's ever come. Amen to your church, Linda Baltman, and she can preach like you ain't ever heard. Amen. Many men preach. The woman prays. She's got it. Come on now. But yet you're in the same condition because you want to know why? Sister Linda can't get you free. Brother Greg can't get you free. Come on. And all the other evangelists can't get you free. Amen. But let me tell you who can get you free. Who's already set you free if you're saved. Amen. But the only one that can get you free from that stake is for you to stop and say, devil, you've been lying to me, and yank it up out of the roots and say, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'm telling you, there's liberty in serving God.
there's liberty. You ain't got to kneel down. You ain't got to sing down. You ain't got to thank down. Because you are free through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you know the devil don't want me to preach what I'm preaching here tonight? But if you can realize that the blood of Jesus has set you free from everything the devil has got, and you are free.
Charles Finney was walking down the road one day. How many has ever heard of Charles Finney? He's a great man of God. Walking down the road one day, went out of the prison house, the jail, busted the door open wide. Here come a young man not even looking where he's going. Finney's standing in front of the jail. He been walking his daily walk. And that prisoner run slap over Finney. Knocked him down. Finney got up and got his composure and looked. And the young man, he said, "What's your problem, young man?" He said, "Sir, I'm sorry." He said, "But if you've never known how it is to be bound in prison for a few years, and today's my first day of freedom," he said, "you would be running too." I said, "You would be running too." Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Some of you get what I'm preaching and some of you not. It's in your ears, it's going to your mind. It'll reach your heart sometime next week when you'll say, "He's preaching to me. I ain't got to live with this no more. I ain't got to pray over this no more. I ain't got to cry over this no more. I ain't got to talk about this no more. I am free, 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 free." How many could tell there's been something on my mind for about 3 nights? Something that's happened to me that hardly nobody knows about. But Monday in prayer, the Lord touched my heart to forgive. And my mind didn't want to. Come on now. But my heart did. So today I've been worried about a phone call that I had to make. Until I made it. And the Holy Ghost turned everything around. Amen. And though it may be the truth what this person does, amen, I feel free in my soul tonight from this situation. Woo! I love to quote what I'm fixing to quote. I ain't got to think, come on here like a sinner. I ain't got to live like a sinner, look like a sinner, act like a sinner, talk like a sinner, because I ain't a sinner. Some of us don't know what it is to live. Come on, we're supposed to be saved, but yet there ain't never no joy in our heart and no song in our lips. Honey, it's great to be free. Amen. I said it's great to be free. Wow! Wow! It's a little girl in my church. Every time, and I believe, go to the altar every time the altar calls you. Ride it to heaven. Ride it all the way to heaven. I'm talking about every time. But this poor little girl, she lives in fear every day. What am I going to do? And she lives that way every day. She ain't never smiling. She ain't never happy. She ain't never got no joy because she's constantly scared. I'm messing up. I'm messing up. I'm messing up. And she lives in misery. Come on now. Preacher, preach on hell. She'll break the pews to get to the altar. Thank God for that. Amen. But I want to tell you, it is not right for us to live in fear every day of our lives. I'm free from my past. I'm free from the present. And I am free from the future. Amen. The devil, come on here, will not bind you up as long as you stay in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the devil cannot wrap you up and entangle you as long as you stay under the blood. Raise your hands and ask God to help us tonight. I'm closing. Just a matter of moments. It got quiet on that. Brother Greg's not telling you not to pray. I'm just telling you, when you live in such constant fear that you're not happy,
It's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. He came to make you free, to make you happy. I feel Him here tonight. And I'm hoping you're getting what I'm preaching. Because all the hell's a fighting with everything it's got. But I want to tell you, there's one, the devil can, the devil will laugh at your shout. He'll laugh at your run. But there's one thing he can't laugh at. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. He cannot laugh at the blood. For that blood has gotten the victory over hell, death, and the grave. I'm finishing. I want somebody tonight. Amen. If you was back, now, I don't mean for you to just to go crazy, amen, and talk about your past. But if you was delivered from cigarettes, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand quick. That God delivered you from cigarettes when you got saved. I want you to look. He came to set the captive free. Even if you don't mind it, you don't have to if you don't want to, but you was bound by alcohol and God delivered you. You was bound by drugs and God delivered you. Oh, Jim. He came to set the captive free. I said he came to set the captive free. One day a little boy looked at the window of a pet store. He said to the pet store owners as he looked at them little puppies, "How much are these puppies?" The pet store owner said, "There's so much." He said, "I don't have that much money." But he looked over in the corner, and what he did not know, the pet store owner, was that when the little boy walked up there, he was born with his leg turned out. Amen. He had to walk like this. Amen. He looked at this little pet store, and talking to the pet store owner, and the pet store owner did not notice him walk up there. He looked and he said, "How much are these?" He told him, he said, "I can't afford that." He said, he noticed that there was a little bitty puppy in the corner who had a hurt leg that couldn't run like the other puppies, and he was deformed. And he asked the pet store owner, "Can I have that puppy? How much is that puppy?" And he said, "It's not for sale," said son. Said, "That puppy is no good. Said it's got a hurt leg. It'll never be like any other puppy." And the pet store owners, he said, the little boy said, "But sir, can I have him, please?" He said, "Son, what you want him for? He'll never make you a play dog because he's got a hurt leg. You don't need that puppy. He ain't good for nothing. He'll never be anything." That little boy started to cry. He said, "Sir," he said, "you don't understand. Me and that puppy's got something in common. I was born in a deformed leg too." And he said, "Sir, I've never been able to play with other kids. And I've never been able to run and have a good time like other kids. You see, sir, I know how that little puppy feels. And I can love that little puppy whether you can or not. I can love him because I know what he feels." I'll tell you, one day my Savior bled and died on Calvary, forsaken by his friends, forsaken by everybody, and felt all alone in that garden. So when I cried and told him I was alone, he said, "I know how you feel. Give me that one." Boy, I'm a preaching a little slow tonight because I ain't feeding the best in my body, but I'm a feeding good in my soul. I'm so glad he looked at me when nobody else might have didn't see anything in me. When he said, "Just give me the clay and I'll make something out of it. But Brother Greg, you don't know how bad I am, how bad I've been. Just give him the clay. Come on. Brother Greg, you don't know how marred I am. Just give him the clay. Help me, Holy Ghost, just a little. Come on. Woo!
Brother Greg, I messed up. I failed. I'm no good. Just give him the credit. Brother Greg, God can never make anything out of me. Just give him the credit. Hey. Oh, we can take a failure. Amen. And make something out of him. We can take somebody like Saul and make a preacher out of him. He took an adulterous woman and made an evangelist out of her. Just give him the clay. I said, just give him your life. Just lay yourself there. He can make you into something spectacular.
Listen to close. Preaching revival. The Samoset Church of God. Florida. South of here. This woman come in that night and we done had a shout down service. Nobody got to preach. Two or three prayed. You know me, I got on the piano and began to sing a little bit. The singers that were singing that revival were done in the back of the church selling tapes. And I got to feeling God singing, Jesus is my high power. And those that tarried around the altar got in with me. Before you know it, the Holy Ghost fell in that place. I preached for another hour and a half. I read the book of Psalms the whole time. Folks shouting, people getting delivered. I begin to preach. And I'm fixing to flip somebody's lid, I know. And I begin to preach against depressant pills. It is not the will of God for a Christian to be on depressant pills. You might as well say amen to me. It's the gospel. It's right. It's not right for a Christian to be on depressant pills. Brother Greg, you don't know nothing about them. Oh, yes, I do. My mom got hooked on Prozac, so she didn't care about nothing. She didn't care about her job. She didn't care about the house. She didn't care about nothing. And when it come to spiritual things, you couldn't budge her with a 10-foot pole. Conviction would fall, the Holy Ghost give out a message, and she would not budge. Cause them pills made her worse. Come on now. And depressant pills only make you worse. And so you go back to the doctor and he gives you a deeper pill. And it makes you worse, and then you go back and he gives you a deeper one. So you become a zombie. Come on now. Oh, I knew I'd fight. I fight hell every night because I preach like this. Amen. See, my ministry has took a turn in the last year because I preach more deliverance than I have ever in my ministry. And I fought the devil worse than ever. But I want to tell you something here tonight. Amen. This kind of message is a message that will break the power of hell in people's lives. Hallelujah. I looked at that demon-possessed county where I preached that camp meeting. And I'm praying a demon-possessed boy through to salvation. And that demon screaming out of him. Amen. And talking out of him. And God delivered him. And I stood up in that church and had fought hell all week long and made this bold statement. I'll never forget it in all the days of my life. It changed my ministry. That night I looked and I said, I won't ever devil in hell to hear me tonight. There ain't enough power in this county. There ain't enough power in hell that can overpower the blood of Jesus Christ.